Hey, it's David. Welcome to Sentinel Watch. JSH.ChristianScience.com is home of the journal Sentinel and Christian Science Herald. That's our home place on the web, and we hope you'll visit us there. And tell us what you think about our upcoming conversation with a Christian Science healer. His name is John Tyler, and he joins us now. John, welcome to Sentinel Watch.
Oh, it's good to be with you, David.
I have to ask, and I bet you get this asked a lot. When I hear the name John Tyler, I think of a certain American president. Any relation?
Well, I have an uncle who claims there is. There was a part of the family that came over, settled in Virginia, but we weren't a part of that. But, you know, I enjoy in Williamsburg going into the pew marked John Tyler. It gives me a kind of good feeling.
That's great. Where are you settled these days?
Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C. That's a city I know very, very well. How did you get into Christian Science? When did you start studying Christian Science?
I was a teenager. We were living on a farm, and my mother's sister came to live with us. As it happened, while she was living there, had a very severe car accident and didn't go to the hospital. And I thought that was very strange. And she had a Christian Science practitioner working for her, despite the fact that, in my opinion, at least, she really needed to be in a hospital. But she was healed of what looked like broken bones, fractured bones, and so forth, that within a period of 2 or 3 weeks. And that was extraordinary. My father got very interested. I got interested at the same time. This was too unusual, you know, not to try to figure out what was behind this healing.
Let me stop you right there, because you said something about how someone was working for her. What do you mean working for her?
Good question. Within the context of this religion of Christian Science, you know, there isn't any clergy, but there are individuals who have a profession of prayer in which they are available to anyone, actually, who's interested in using prayer as a basis for solving problems. And this is defining problems extraordinarily widely. They can be physical problems, mental, financial, marital, and it's kind of just taking seriously the idea that prayer heals, and through an understanding of the whole process of the nature of God and man's relationship to God, that understanding that is a basis for healings, and this was the case for my aunt.
So you witnessed this healing. You said something just then that I have so many questions running through my thoughts right now, but you said something about man's relationship to God, which that's pretty heavy. And I think a lot of listeners may wonder what you mean by man's relationship to God. What is that relationship as you see it and as you've learned and studied Christian Science on your own from those early days when you witnessed that first healing?
Well, David, I can't think of a more important question. You know, what is my relationship to God, and what in the world does that mean? It's so fundamental that it's been the center of my study of this science called Christian Science. And I think we can just start with a very simple statement that exists as it's kind of the keynote to Christian Science church services. In Christian Science Sunday church services, there's a sermon which is pronounced, and then there's a conclusion, and it's as though the whole service is leading up to this statement. It's a part of John's first letter towards the end of the New Testament, where John says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." And he goes on, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." And that's an extraordinary thing, I think, you know, to just to ponder. What does it mean to be the son of God? And I'll just share in a minute or two my sense of of that. It's a metaphor.
Before we go any further, though, John, we should point out when you say son of God, you mean daughter. you're not being gender specific here. We're talking about humankind, right?
That exactly, yes. So much of the Bible is metaphoric, and son here is a child of, and a lot of the translations of that same text include child rather than son. Mm-hmm. So it's broad, son in the sense of child, and father in the sense of source. And so we are the result of this single cause. And there's just so many directions one can go here, but it's really identifying a beginning point. And then since we know something about God, this is what I began to learn in my study of Christian Science, that as we understand that relationship of being a son of God or child mm-hmm. of God, we're really learning about ourselves.
You know, you're saying some things here that you'll forgive me for a frolic and detour. I was listening to an interview with a country music singer named Tim McGraw just today, and he was talking about how he discovered once upon a time that his real dad was Tug McGraw, the famous baseball player. And he said, you know, it wasn't long after discovering that his dad was Tug McGraw, he said he saw what his real father had done with his life, and it lit a fire within him to think about what he could do with his own life. And I'm curious, when you talk about finding out that your source is God, if there's something kind of similar, we're talking metaphors here, but if there's something kind of similar when you discover that your true father is God, wow. What does that mean for you?
Well, your wow, David, is absolutely the proper response, because that's extraordinary, isn't it? And it comes through in that passage that I read from John's first letter. This is an identification which does a lot of things. It tells us more than anything else who we are. And that's similar to what you were just describing in terms of an individual identifying his father. I think that's a lot of the basis for people, you know, trying to find out through their DNA or whatever their source.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
I think it can be life-changing. And it certainly was for me, you know, to discover through this metaphor of fatherhood or motherhood, because I, in the context of Christian Science, learned that we can understand God as mother, as perhaps even more significantly than God as father, just because the aspect of love and compassion is such an incredibly...
So powerful.
Yeah. So powerful and so real. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, this is the nature of the relationship. And again, that's with the metaphor coming into play, the relationship between parent and child.
Maybe someone listening to us is thinking, well, why is that so important? I mean, have you had an experience where understanding your relationship to God has changed things for you or led to a healing?
I think all of the healings that I've had relate to that in one way or another. It's so central. It's just the core. There's one that I can remember very vividly. In fact, I just got back from the first vacation in quite a while, in which I was scuba diving. It reminded me of a problem I had. I was on the swimming team, high school swimming team, my senior year, and I had an ear infection that was very serious, probably about a year before, come into contact, as I indicated, with Christian Science through my aunt, and had chosen to use prayer. And I was working with a Christian Science practitioner who's an individual, as I mentioned earlier, whose primary activity is to pray at the request of others. And I was working with this individual, a woman who was essentially guiding me through a new understanding of myself. And the coach, who had kind of become a family friend, came by, and he, according to him, this was terribly serious. In fact, I had balance problems. I couldn't really walk upright because of the severity of the infection. But the sense of being a creation of my source, of God, was one of the ideas that the practitioner suggested that I work with. And the realization that my nature was being defined by this source. In a sense, she encouraged me to understand that not only that God was my creator, and I was the creation of God, but that that was an ongoing activity. Hmm. It was as though the creator was continuing to create. Hmm. There's a wonderful metaphor in the Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures, where Jeremiah is describing, again, the relationship of God to God's creation. And in this metaphor, God is a potter, and God's creation is the pot. And the pot is being continually shaped by the creator. And it, to me, it was just wonderful. It showed me that I could understand that I was literally in God's hands, being shaped by being created and constantly recreated according to the genius of this wonderful potter, and that was what was governing me. It was kind of, again, that sense of fatherhood, father-motherhood, that was enabling me to understand more clearly my fundamental nature as godlike, as spiritual. And through that, it wasn't the easiest thing in the world, but I just loved working with that sense of I was being created. I was the, later I learned that the founder of Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy, that she was describing God as mind, divine mind, and the awareness that minds conceive ideas and develop ideas. And that, again, a kind of metaphor that enabled me to understand my relationship to that source. And after that kind of mental exploration, really prayer, I found that step by step that there was a healing taking place. And contrary to the assumption of the coach that I was really ruining my ear, it healed completely, and so much so that the diving experience I just came back from enabled me to go down to over 100 feet depth, where there's tremendous pressure on the eardrum that was infected, and it was perfect, and it was a wonderful experience.
John, that is incredible. But I have to ask you, as you were thinking about God as in a way a potter and, you know, forming new ideas, what about this idea that maybe God wanted you to have some kind of issue with your ear? Maybe this was a character building experience or something along those lines. Why did you see yourself as not having to deal with a hearing problem or some other problem with your ear?
It goes back very simply to the basis that we've been talking about, because my sense and understanding, and this is exactly, I think, what Mary Baker Eddy is presenting as the real nature of God, is infinite love. Infinite love. It's kind of the embodiment of love itself, and it's the source of love. To me, it's wonderful that she encourages us to expand our sense of God. And she has selected seven different terms which take us away from the idea of God as a kind of anthropomorphic superhuman being, mm-hmm. And into a world in which we can begin to understand God in a different way. And one of the key synonyms, these seven terms are synonyms of God that we as Christian Scientists often use to understand both God and ourselves more fully. One of the key terms is love. And here it's not that God is very loving, but that God is love itself. And if we have an understanding of God as love itself, how could we possibly imagine a God who wanted to punish or could allow suffering as a part of its creation. And so, you know, just the very notion of God testing or punishing goes so violently against that fundamental notion of God as love that, as you were beginning to describe it, appeared to me as totally absurd.
That is really interesting, because I know a lot of people listening have heard those stories from the Bible where it seems like people are being tested in one way or another. You didn't see yourself as being tested. You saw your relationship as more intimate, almost, forgive me for saying so, but it almost seemed like you saw a certain kind of oneness with God. Is that overstepping it or no?
That's not only not overstepping it, I think that's just a totally accurate description. And in fact, within the context of Christian Science, it's interesting, that term oneness, it's a term that I think is very effective in enabling us to understand that key relationship that really tells us who we are. And I mean, so much so that one of the individuals in the New Testament, there's Jesus who speaks frequently of love, but there's also St. Paul, who interestingly speaks also very, very frequently about love. Often it's translated as charity, but he's talking about divine love. And there's a time when he's in Athens, apparently at the Parthenon, having a theological discussion with Athenians, famous for their different philosophies. Mm-hmm. And he's looking for a way in which to describe as accurately as possible the nature of a God that they don't know about. And he describes this God as purely spiritual. And the relationship of man to God here, he uses the term in him, referring to God. He says, in him we live and move and have our being. And I think that's just an extraordinarily simple statement of the way in which we can see ourselves as related to God. It's done in spatial terms, in God. We're not inside right. something. But it's, again, it's a metaphor which represents the intimate closeness that this term oneness enables us to feel in describing our relationship to God.
So what, John, what does that mean then if you are, let's take the metaphor and don't want to stretch it, you know, beyond reason, but what does that mean to be one with God? Why do you see that oneness as so important, and what has that meant to you?
Well, there's so many things, David, but the understanding of oneness here, of our unity with our source, is something that our language doesn't allow us to describe very accurately, but we have through metaphors, and there's a way in which Mary Baker Eddy, and well, I mentioned those synonyms that she helps us with to enable us to understand the nature of God more fully. One of them is mind. And for me, part of the beauty of seeing God as mind is understanding that that mind, that divine mind, again, not a physical thing at all, and it's wonderful it takes us into this metaphor of something completely spiritual, but the divine mind conceives ideas and develops those ideas. And that's a way in which I think we can understand the nature of our relationship to God, that we are ideas of that infinitely intelligent mind, being developed constantly, a little bit like the potter with the clay, being developed by that infinitely intelligent mind, and never separate from it. And in fact, that's what's so beautiful about the metaphor. You can't imagine an idea deciding, okay, I'm going to go out and be independent. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, the idea is an idea of the mind, and the mind develops that idea. And the idea itself is totally dependent on its source, on the mind. Mm-hmm. And that's a dependence which continues. And that's the nature, in fact, of our relationship to God. This is what Paul was trying to describe Jesus identifies, he sets himself up as a model for his students in showing them how to pray. And he makes that extraordinary statement, I and my Father are one.
Yeah, that is such an important, I've heard that since I was a little boy, I and my Father are one. And it's also, you know, been the study of philosophers even, you know, who have pondered what Jesus meant by that. And I guess, I don't know how you see this, John, but I've always thought of I and my Father are one, not so much that, you know, I am the ocean, but I am, say, a drop of water, or to use another metaphor, the sun, a ray, right? A ray of sun, and one without the other isn't. And if you posit that God is, right, then your being is integral. You are just as important, in a sense, and inseparable from that source.
Absolutely. And in fact, again, here, our language is a little tricky, because when you say inseparable, you think of two things which are very close together. But oneness is more than that.
It's even closer. Yeah, right.
It's even closer. Yes, there's a way in which Mary Baker Eddy has brought this idea, I think, really into focus. It's a very simple way. She uses grammar. And she talks about the relationship of man to God, principle to its idea. Again, principle is a synonym for God that she uses. And idea, of course, is the creation of God, is symbolic of man. So she says, principle and its idea is one.
Using the singular there, yeah.
Using the singular. You know, God and I, we is one. And, you know, when you see it in that way, you can see, hey, there's something going on here that I really need to pay attention to and to deepen, because our language, frankly, is incapable of enabling us to describe. We don't have terms. We've invented this oneness, which is helpful, but we need to go further. And she does in breaking the grammatical rule. Because, you know, a plural subject is supposed to take a verb in the plural. And here we have it in the singular. In the singular, can you imagine? So we're bringing them together so fully that they is one.
But I'm curious, though, as a philosophical idea, this is fascinating. But we're talking here about something that is beyond philosophy, in a sense, for a lot of folks, and I know a lot of listeners. How does this relate to healing? How can that isness, that oneness with our Father, Mother, God, bring about healing?
Well, in my most recent skiing experience, there was an occasion I had to really apply this idea of man's oneness with God. It was towards the end of the day. I was coming down my last run and fell and twisted my leg. And what I immediately experienced was an excruciating pain, inability to put any weight on the leg whatsoever. It was the end of the day. The group I was with was kind of heading off towards the lodge, and I just indicated that I wanted to be alone. And they a little bit reluctantly complied. And I really felt that this was the right thing for me to do at that point. So they complied, went off, and I really, really wanted to just quietly pray. And I was thinking of the prayer that Jesus gives on the eve of the crucifixion. It's between him and God, and he's talking about God's love for his disciples and the care for his disciples. And he says, identifying the nature of his relationship to God, he says, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. And I remember thinking, you know, that's when I first ran into that idea, I thought that's a little strange. And then I realized he wasn't talking about spatial relationships. he was talking about a purely spiritual relationship, and in which he was reaching out kind of mentally and verbally to capture the essence of that idea of oneness with God. And he indicates that this is the model he wants his disciples to have, that they all may be one. And I was just deeply involved in that, and kind of without thinking, I started pulling myself up on my ski poles, and there was not only no pain, there was a sense of just real joy. And I finished that run and was looking forward, you know, that evening to sharing with the group. And it's been a kind of cherished moment ever since.
Yeah, yeah.
It can be put into practice through our own awareness of who we are, and in particular of this special relationship to God. I think the framework within which Jesus wanted his students to be able to think, they ask him, how can we pray? And he gives them a model, and he begins that model, our Father. We want to make sure it's not a human Father, our Father which art in heaven. But that identification, again, Father not only as our source, but as the continuing basis of our existence. It's a way of recognizing our fundamental nature, and that ability to be able to see essentially ourselves as godlike. I mean, it sounds presumptuous, but actually it's the reality of our being. And in prayer, to be able to sense that specific identification, we're going beyond the human to the purely spiritual. And of course, that's the essence of what Jesus wanted his students to identify themselves as.
He sort of wanted us to see ourselves as heir to something more than just what, well, as I guess Shakespeare once said, more than just what flesh is heir to, right? Jesus wanted us to see ourselves as heirs of something more permanent, more perfect, more loving, more what? More principled, more conscious in a way, perhaps, more conscious of who we are and who our brothers and sisters are.
Yes, and this is why I think in prayer, the first thing we generally begin with is an acknowledgement of the nature of God. And then that's already enormous, and especially it's wonderfully rich within the context of Christian Science, where Mary Baker Eddy gives us these seven terms which enable us to understand God more fully, not only as love and mind, but as principle and as spirit and soul. But as we take that further, we're identifying ourselves because we are the children of God. And now, in recognizing these characteristics of God, our mother, father, we're identifying ourselves. And we're lifting our idea of ourselves from human to spiritual.
We're changing our perspective. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, very definitely our perspective. But we're, above all, we're lifting it to a level of absolute perfection. And there's a statement which Jesus makes, which somehow I think people skip over often, but it's an extraordinary one. He says, again, speaking to his disciples, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." So that this self-identification as completely godlike, 100% godlike, is lifting us to really the most beautiful way in which we can identify ourselves that we can imagine.
John, I'm thinking that there are probably a lot of folks listening to our conversation thinking, I want to learn more about God, because that would mean that I'm learning a whole lot more about myself and my own nature. And I found you were talking about Mary Baker Eddy, who discovered and founded the Christian Science Church. She wrote a book called Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures that I have found as a student of Christian Science myself just priceless. And almost anywhere I turn when I open it, I'm inspired by ideas. It's not just a beautifully written book. It's inspiring in terms of the thoughts and what that can spark in our own thinking, especially when it comes to thinking about our relationship with God and what God is. That's Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. John Tyler is our guest today on Sentinel Watch, and we've been talking about oneness. John, it's been a real pleasure. I hope we can have you back on Sentinel Watch real soon.
I'd love to be, David. Thanks very much.
Thanks so much for listening to Sentinel Watch, a weekly production of the Christian Science Sentinel. We'll talk again soon.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.